At the end of this week's podcast, we have an amazing, really awesome half an hour with Chris Jansen that you're going to love. He's one of the best people on the planet, and we got a little kooky with him, so hang tight for that right after the end of the podcast.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
It's like a can opener for cans.
I remember that.
Yeah. That is the goal this week, as we were talking about this really cool can opener that I found on Kickstarter. It's like a can opener for cans. That's how I justified backing that Kickstarter. This week's podcast is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know the drill, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They got better parts, they got better prices, and they do it every day. Better parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. Every day, y'all.
I just want to make sure, as we are doing the live stream, I just want to be able to pot this up here. Pot this up. That's such a radio term. Like, nobody in, if you say pot this up anywhere to anybody, they think you're talking about pot. I'm going to pot this up. I want to.
They got better.
Okay, good. The audio is working correctly.
Yeah, I remember the first time I got was in a radio, the guy was like, okay, and this pot does this, and that pot does this. And I was like, what?
This what? Yeah. So, like, the little sliders, the little faders on a control board in a studio, those are called pots.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they call them that, but you'll hear radio dudes, you'll hear it from now on. You'll be listening and somebody will be like, well, turn that pot up or pot this up or whatever. And you're like, what are you guys talking about? Now you know. You got a little insider info today.
Hey, Patrick, how was the big radio, country radio conventions going on this week? And there's lots of really cool shows and did you post something about Reba? Did you go see Reba?
Reba.
I'm sorry?
Showed up. Reba.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. I got so excited. So I snuck my mom in to the Ryman.
She was me, right?
Yeah. She was Big D.
Who was me?
I thought my dad.
Oh, okay.
But I thought, who could care less? But, I mean, he drove. It's okay. So at the Ryman, the Universal Music Group has all of their artists come out and sing a song. And it's great because even the really big stars show up and sing one song. So we get to watch. The point of doing it is to get you to watch all these new people that even I've never heard of come out there and sing us a new song. And then you get like John Party played his brand new song, which is going to be awesome. Like, awesome. And all these other cool people. And then Brothers Osborne we hadn't seen in a while. They came out and did a new song. Luke Bryan came out and sang a brand new song that's going to be on his next record. Oh, here comes Carrie Underwood and Keith Urban. That's cool. And then, oh, hey, everybody, we have a surprise for you. We just re-signed Reba. So Reba was on Mercury and then MCA for like 30 years. And then that left 15 years ago and went off and did a TV show. And then she had another record deal with another label. But she's going back to the place where she was originally. And she came out and she sang three songs and it was Reba. It was Reba, man.
That's cool.
Did you know she was going to be there?
No, no one knew.
Mm-mm, no.
I mean, it was one of the best kept secrets in one of these conventions that I've ever heard.
I saw your Instagram story, and it was like Keith Urban was singing, and there's Carrie Underwood in the background.
Yeah, and Carrie standing.
And you're like even Carrie sticks around for Keith Urban, and then come to find out she ended up duetting with him. So she wasn't.
And then,
like,
but she stayed for Reba, and what I didn't get a video of was her standing back there singing and dancing on this because where we were sitting. On the side, we could see the side of if you were sitting in the front, which you couldn't see. And we could see Carrie Underwood on the side of the stage dancing and singing along with Reba. Like, of course you stay and watch Reba. Like, who doesn't? It's Reba. But the reason it was extra cool is that's the first country concert I ever went to. My mom took me to see Reba.
Like back in the day?
Mm-hmm. At the Baton Rouge Centroplex, which is not even called that anymore. It's the Raising Cane's River Center. But yeah, we saw Reba. John Michael Montgomery, and their opening act was Faith Hill, who only had one song out on the radio.
Wow.
Yes. And that was back in the day. Reba used to change costumes like
like Taylor
times.
Swift style?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Isn't that
Taylor
funny?
Swift does it Reba style.
That's what I said. I was going to say, isn't that funny? I have it twisted around now because of the the times.
Reba was the first person I ever saw get onto a prop and then get lifted up and taken out over the crowd.
Bon Jovi.
I didn't see Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley used to do that?
Paul Stanley still does that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Like, I remember watching John Bon Jovi fly over the crowd like Garth would do. And I was like, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. And like Pink does it now. And Pink does it,
by the way,
probably better than anybody.
Our business manager, who also works with a lot of artists and gets to write their or buy their insurance policy, says that that costs a lot of money in insurance. You have to have like a massive multi-million dollar insurance policy just to cover going out over the audience. Because if you fall, not only do you die, but you probably kill other people or injure, you know.
And that's the end of the tour.
And that's the end of the tour.
The tour is done.
There's no way to make more money to pay for those injuries. So
I'm
going to
see Luke
massive
Combs doing that. Like in this, he goes up and the whole crowd underneath just separate. They can make big holes wherever he is. And so
I call this song Part the Red Sea, and he flies out over the people. And it'd be great, man.
Yeah, it would be pretty great. Pretty great. Yeah. I tell you, the things that I saw the Reba posted behind the scenes kind of thing after the fact of her warming up on her hair. She's having someone do her hair. And she was
awesome.
She had a fiddle player and a guitar player, and she was singing Fancy.
Well,
while she's getting her hair done.
Well, they were warming up because they did like an acoustic version of it. It was just a guitar player and a fiddle and somebody and a dobro or something. They did Fancy. It was awesome. But you know what? She's kept talking about her catalog. All her catalog of hits is at Universal.
That's so like
she's
us talking about POTS. That's an insider word.
It's an insider
word. If you talk to anybody, they don't know what a catalog is. They think a catalog is something that comes in the mail and you buy, you know, Victoria's Secret from it.
Okay. But the reason that's interesting is...
What is her catalog?
Her catalog is all of her old music, basically. All of the albums she did while she was on those two record labels, which is all the biggest. It's like, you know, of all of her number one hits, it's like 90% of
them
were while she was
there
with that label. So... The reason she kept talking about it is it's got to be some kind of deal where she's going to go back. Maybe she's going to do like Brooks and Dunn did and Tracy Lawrence did, where they sing
redo the old songs, duets
or something. Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting.
So why do people do that again? So they can get money from their old hits, or when they leave their record label and their biggest hits are on that record label, they don't get to bring them with them?
No. They still get royalty. Look, every record deal is completely different. They're all different. So some people get no money after they leave their label. Most people get some royalties. It depends if the album recouped, and that's a whole other conversation and all this stuff. But it's a way to get new interest in an old project or a new royalty rate on old songs or whatever. The interesting thing is when artists go in and re-record their songs so that they own the new masters, which is what Taylor's threatening to do with or saying she's going to do when she's done with – she's got to wait out a certain time period until she can re-record it. So when you go in, most of the time you sign a record deal. You say, I'm going to record songs for you, and I'm not going to re-record those songs for 15 years. So you can't leave that – place and go to a new record label and record the same songs and try to make them sound the same but a lot of people do that. I know Tracy Lawrence did that because when he left Atlantic in the 90s and went over to DreamWorks, he did a greatest hits album, but they didn't own the greatest hits, so he re-recorded them and you try to make them sound
he's
as
actually
close
done
to
that
them.
A couple times now, like Tracy Lawrence has like two or three greatest hits style things.
The good old days thing was with duets with other artists,
which was awesome. Like you Luke know, Combs and yeah. Tracy Lawrence together.
And Brooks and Dunn did that. And with streaming being the new thing, it's a good way to get people to go and check out music they otherwise wouldn't think to go listen to. You know, oh, look, Luke Combs is singing with Brooks and Dunn. It's kind of cool. So I have a feeling Reba's going to do something like that.
I also think it's a good way, like whenever you take new fans, like people that are into country music who might not have been around during the 90s heyday of like the Tracy Lawrences or even Garth in that sense. It's a good way to introduce people that are newer country fans to the older stuff.
It's a good way to introduce people who are big fans of Reba or Brooks and Dunn to
Luke Combs
or whoever. They may not know who these people are. So it's a cool project. And I mean, now... like with Ronnie Dunn doing his album of covers. Like, who cares? Like, you know, it doesn't cost as much to record. It doesn't cost as much to distribute because you don't have to actually make CDs or albums. So you just put the songs out. So why not just put the songs out?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Just go record what you want to do.
It's cool until Justin Bieber and Florida Georgia Line do it.
Why? You didn't like that?
I like the Dan and Shay and Justin song.
Florida Georgia Line did a cover of the Justin Bieber. What was it?
Yummy.
Yummy.
Oh, yeah, did they really?
Apparently, mm-hmm. It's people don't like it. I don't know. Oh. I didn't hear it, but
I haven't.
It's
heard
not
it.
Spectacular.
It's got its moments.
Yeah, but just, Yummy, I didn't think was spectacular. I thought that was a weak Justin song.
Well, I can't speak to Bieber's catalog, Bubba, but
Hey, dude, I've got daughters.
I know.
Hear all this stuff. Man, my house is K-pop central right now, and BTS dropping that song. My daughter's gone crazy. I've already seen the stuff.
K-pop?
Man. Oh, K-pop. Yeah.
I like, know what Korean, K-pop yeah. is. Why does your daughter care?
Because that's the thing
it's
right
the
now.
Thing.
That
really?
Is. And yeah, it's like, it's crazy, man. It's so big
Imagine
right now.
Somebody who listens to our show every day going,
what is K-pop?
What? Koreans?
It'll be done. It'll like everything else.
Yeah.
Remember, was a group that they were doing an interview for the Top 40 station, and they're you come in and you're like, dude, why are there like hundreds of teenage girls outside?
Oh, that was One Direction.
Yeah, One Direction.
I love that story. We were in a building with other radio stations, and one was a Top 40 station, and I've never seen anything like that. There were 150 to 200 13 and 14-year-old girls just
on a
standing
school day.
On a school day in the middle of the day.
Yes.
Surrounding the building. They found out they were going to be there. They all called in sick to school and showed up. And it was two of so
there was
we had
a couple
a garage.
That actually were able to breach
yeah, oh,
the
they
outer
broke
walls.
In. Oh, yeah. Two of them crazy. Followed me in when I went into the garage. And then I got rid of them. And I'm like, what is going on? And I realized we could hear the garage downstairs because there was like an open part. And I could hear people running around down there. And I'm like, oh, something's going on. This is not good. So we had to go down there and like find them. One of them was hiding under their van. Like, what?
That's
what
not
do
a
you
good
think
I don't
is
think
gonna...
you want to hide under somebody's
yeah.
wheel well.
That was what a horrible
but even then,
idea.
What do you think is going to happen? Like, you're under the van, and let's say miraculously you don't get run over or die.
Yeah.
You're going to get that moment, and One Direction number 3 is going to go, yes.
You
13-year-old
no.
girl,
yeah,
like,
no.
ooh.
But what if she just wanted to touch, like, Niall's foot?
No,
what?
She...
I mean...
That's not what's in our cute little prepubescent heads.
We formed a human chain afterwards. They came and they were looking for volunteers. They're like, we need some people to come and help us get the van out. I'm like, too interesting. I'm not passing this up.
Too interesting.
It's like, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't have that much going on. I got to go see
like,
what happens next.
You know, I'm running out of stories.
Yeah. I always could use a new one. So what we did is we went out where the garage door opens up and we went just outside and we basically formed a human chain and kind of moved the crowd back and stood there linked arm in arm so the van could come out and drive away without basically running over any of these girls. And while we're doing that, the van comes out and it's pulling out and two of them flashed the van.
Yeah.
And I was like,
the girls?
Oh,
the 13-year-old girls?
Yes.
What? Now what are they expecting?
Exactly. What is your end game?
Now the One Direction guys were older than 13 at the time, right?
Yes.
They were
all
probably
like 17-ish. But even still, it,
boys,
like,
girls,
what are
y'all
you doing?
Calm down.
Did the van just go to jail? Go directly to jail?
It didn't pass go. It didn't get its $200.
Wrong.
It just went right over.
Oh, it's just the absolute craziest day.
Oh man,
yeah, I remember that, man. I left.
Yo,
like,
it was, and Bubba was like, I wish I had known they were coming. I'm like, of course you did.
What's wrong with that? I was excited.
This would have been so cool.
Yeah,
I can't
no.
believe I missed it.
But the reason is he's in a house of girls.
I get it.
But I also like when Shawn Mendes came by and all that.
That was cool. People I had heard of. The crazy thing about that is, like, Katy Perry came by. And I saw Katy Perry perform, and I had never really heard of her, but she had one song out. And there were a lot of cool things like that. But with these guys, when I had never heard of them.
It was really early on.
Very early. This is like you're thinking, you're listening to this thinking, oh, yeah, well, One Direction. I know that. No.
No.
It was like a what now?
It's basically like the way we just mentioned BTS. You don't know who they are.
I know BTS.
What I'm saying is that they, you know, if you're not in the industry or in that fan base, you don't know who they are. Like One Direction, if you say everybody knows who they are.
But what I'm saying is this was way early on One Direction.
And the thing is that when it comes to those kind of boy bands, it always is the 12 and 13-year-olds, even before social media. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they are in it first. They are on it. Like, a friend of mine had to take a group of 12-year-olds to see NSYNC before they were NSYNC, right? Mm-hmm. That they were doing some fair festival.
Back when Justin had the fro.
Again, this is like before you knew who they were. It was just like five dudes that showed up at a shopping mall or something. But they were playing a fair, and a bunch of the moms she worked with were like, hey, can you be the cool like aunt for a day and take them to see this boy band? And the girls are losing their mind. And there were all these kids there. And she was very much in the pop world. Like, she worked for one of those entertainment shows on TV. She's like, I've never heard of these guys. But it was because the 13-year-olds were the first ones in there.
Have I ever, since it's a country radio seminar, we're telling radio, so have I ever told you the story about the NSYNC backstage passes?
No.
Oh, my gosh. This was, I'm going to really let it all behind the scenes stuff, because we used to act like this was a real thing, but we had one pair of backstage passes for NSYNC. It's 1998, and it's the biggest thing ever. So what are we going to do? We're not just going to take caller 9 or some, you know, something like that. So somebody came up with the idea, the station I was at, to do 100. The call letters were 102, or the number was 102. So we had 102 hours of the station. You had to listen for 102 hours straight. From, I don't know, noon on one day until 5 p.m. three or four days later.
You had to list the songs or something?
At the very top of the hour, we would play a special thing that goes, this is the song you need to know the title of. For hour number 4 of 100, and so hour number 5, this is the song you need to know. So people were supposed to write down the first song we played in every hour for 102 straight hours. And then at 5 o'clock the last day, we would take caller number 102, and then they had to list off all the songs, and then they would win. But the crazy part was they built in beforehand. They go, after like a day and a half, when most people have already lost because they're not listening at 3 a.m, I was like the morning show sidekick guy. I would steal the list and go out to a McDonald's, because they sold the sponsorship to McDonald's, and give... And have the list there.
Randomly
and
pick
I had
a place?
I had these. Yeah, exactly. I had these big poster boards where I had all the songs written down, and people would come out so they could update their list if they missed a few.
Ew, so I hate that. Then the people who really did it get cheated.
But that was only the people got cheated for like the first, I don't know, 16 hours, and then people realized, oh, I don't really have to listen. I just have to go to wherever this guy is every afternoon for 4 days. So those, I've never had people turn out at what we call a remote broadcast. Like at those McDonald's things where people are just people losing their minds to try to. And let me tell you, mothers trying to bribe me with inappropriate favors so that I would give the backstage passes to their daughters. I wish I could tell you it was only one or two. It was.
Really?
Oh my gosh. It was
insane.
How
do you say that? How do you go, listen, if I get it, I'll do this?
Yeah.
You just say it?
My daughter really needs to meet NSYNC because, well, I want to be their mother-in-law, so I am willing to do this.
So these are just all,
I'm
assuming, blind mothers.
You know, we're talking about like 19-year-old me. I was kind of cute.
Oh,
right? Maybe? Okay. All right. No, I don't know. But yeah, it was.
Women also attracted to power, and he had the power of the passes.
I did. In that particular time, I had it. Or they thought I did. I didn't really have it. Yeah, it was. I did go backstage, and I did meet NSYNC. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, these dudes? Really? Okay. And the least impressive one of the five of them? Justin Timberlake. That's the one I would have thought, that guy's never going to make it, because he had a perm, and he walked in with like a pimp walk, like this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into a thing, into where there's people waiting to see him, and he intentionally walked in like an idiot. And I went, what is going on? Why do people care about this so much?
Yeah.
Well, because one day he had his stuff in a box.
Yeah, but that was a long time after that. Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Well, when NSYNC played Saturday Night Live back in 2000, it was the height of No Strings Attached, which was Bye Bye Bye, right? Like, that's that song was insanely huge. And we had girls that slept over on the sidewalk in front of 30 Rock beginning that Wednesday night trying to get standby tickets. Well, the problem is there's only like 180 tickets you can give away for Saturday Night Live anyway. And they people put in requests like vice presidents and clients and whatever. So, of course, it was a hugely sought after show because it's people who want to take their kids, right? They want to bring their 13-year-old to NSYNC.
Yeah.
And so these girls have been living on the street for 4 days. And when it came time to give out the standby passes, there are none.
Oh.
So one of the girls I was a page with goes out and she goes, y'all, we out of passes. Bye, bye, bye.
Oh,
oh yes, she did.
And unfortunately, this is like before cell phone video because that would have been the greatest clip ever.
Bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye, bye. Did they riot in the streets?
No, they were just sad? Because it was also like February. These girls are frozen. I don't think if they had rioted, they could have because they were stuck to the streets.
Probably just slow.
When my niece, Brooke, when she was like, 9 or 10, that she was really into the Cheetah Girls.
And I'm still into the Cheetah Girls.
Of course you are. And they bought tickets, okay?
It's all over Disney Plus.
She was like, do you know anybody? Can we get backstage passes? And the Cheetah Girls were on tour with this new girl from the Disney Channel who nobody cared about, named Miley Cyrus. And I was like, well, I know that girl's dad. So I texted Billy Ray and got backstage passes for my niece and her friends to meet Miley, but really so they could also meet the Cheetah Girls who were also there. And I remember thinking, oh, okay, that was cool, I guess. I hope they took pictures with Billy Ray's daughter because, you know, they were supposed to be back there to meet her, and they did. It turned, and then she became
bigger,
a much, much bigger star later. But at the time, dude, he called me after I texted me. He was like, yeah, man, we don't mind. That'd be great. Y'all come down. I'll be there. Tell them say hi. You know, 6 months later, she's selling out arenas because Hannah Montana.
It's the best of both worlds.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so great. I was in that the same building you were talking about earlier. Went and get some coffee in the break room. And there's this girl there. She looked lost. And there are kind of people around, but they weren't with her at the time. They're down that other hallway. And I knew she didn't belong there. And I was like, can I help you? And she goes, I'm Kesha. And I go, you're who?
Dude, that happened to me with Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child.
So this is our
She was lost too.
So in that building where we used to work, the country station and our studio was on the first floor, and all the other radio stations were on the second floor. So we were the only people who used the first floor kitchen. You know what I mean? So, like, all the salespeople, everyone else, they had a big kitchen upstairs, and we had this little one. So when you'd see somebody in that kitchen you didn't know, you'd assume they were lost.
Because they were.
I'm Kesha. That's how I'm going to think of that all the time. Yeah.
Can you imagine her saying that to me?
Yes.
I'm just like, you're what?
You're who now? You're a cashier? I don't know.
On a much more note, I went to go pick up a paycheck at a radio station I worked at. And it was up a flight of stairs, and the doors, they were outside stairs. And so I'm walking up, and I go to, like, flash my key card to get in. And the salesperson out there, and she's like, can I help you? And I go, yeah, I'm here to pick up my paycheck. And she's like, oh, you work here?
Oh,
I was like,
gosh.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Yeah, like,
thanks for knowing, lady.
Yep. I was like, okay.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
that's the way Jerry was with everyone else.
With everyone. Yeah. At our building.
Oh, the only reason we knew Jerry well is because we peed next to him.
Yeah, exactly. If we had never seen him in the men's room, we'd never have seen him. That's it. The only time we were ever actually in the same room.
We're talking about Jerry House. Jerry used
Radio
to do,
legend.
Yeah, he used to do mornings at the station we were at the time. And there would be people who, like, They had never seen him. Like, they worked in the same building and had never.
And they've been there for years.
I've been there 6 years. I've never actually seen him.
Well, I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, we're told never to go around him.
Sometimes when we'd have breaks, I'd walk in their studio during the show. I mean, I'd go, hey, is everyone okay? And they'd be like, the first time I did it, oh my gosh, it was so awkward.
Yeah.
You could feel it.
The rest of his, the people that worked with him were all probably terrified. Listen, so one time they were doing a contest, like a big, it was one of these things where you had to have an insurance policy. Because so that someone's either going to win $1,000 or $100,000.
Yeah.
And so the way radio stations used to do that is they buy an insurance policy to do it. And if the person wins, the insurance policy
their
pays
hopes
it off,
was that
you know?
Nobody would
well,
win,
because
but
it's
just
a long
in case.
Shot. It's a long shot to win. You have like a 1 in 50 chance of winning.
Yeah.
So that's why we buy the policy, the whole thing. So it's this big rigmarole they're doing. They got cameras in there before we even did that. And they're going to film the whole thing. And the head of the station, the general manager there, and the someone asked me just, and I was just being nice. They're like, "Will you go in and just hold the camera in the second camera in the corner?" I'm like, "Sure." And where I was, he couldn't quite see me, but you could tell someone was standing there. And I remember him going, "Who else is in here?" And I was like, "Me."
It's Patrick.
Dude,
I'm Patrick.
Are you supposed to be in here? I'm like. I wanted to go. It was, you know, though, because there's something in me that wanted to go, dude, I'm volunteering for this. I don't want to be here. Don't be
you
a
know
jerk.
What I would have done.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have gone,
no,
me
I don't need
and
to be
you put the camera and I'm walking out. Put you film yourself, pal.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
They got a lot of footage of a wall. You're like, no, I'm Patrick. One day I'll form a human chain.
And I'll protect One Direction.
You'll know me one day. One day you'll regret this. I'm going to be a something.
I'm going to be... No, hold on. God, I love old radio stories. I just do.
I know. Eddie's in town. I wanted to get Eddie in to talk.
I gave him my number and told him to just come over and text me, but then he never did. So Eddie tells great radio stories.
He does, man. What a great dude. There's a lot of guys have... You know, we always kind of talk about kind of hard on radio folks, but you know, it's a weird
job.
It is, and it's a dying art, but to do it well. And there are a handful of people that I think do it really well, and there are some young ones who are coming up and doing some. They're making a mark and trying to do their own version of it, and that's great. It's a weird job. It's just there aren't many of us.
There's less and less every week, according to iHeart.
It's weird, though, too, that there are so, even before that mass slaughter, that there were so few of us, and yet the some of them don't want to be friends with you. Because it feels like, hey, we're in this, and we should all have each other's back. And then there are those people
that are not friendly.
Just not going to go near you. And like,
and that makes no sense because before they know, especially if they work for a big corporation, it's like, man, you need to be nicer to people because
you're going to need them.
You're going to be on the chopping block before you know it, and you're going to need every single person in here to find your next job. Be nice.
Yep, that's exactly right, man.
Yeah, I was sitting at a table last night, and there were 7 people at the table, and everyone, including me, were people who used to work for another company, but no longer do. I was the only one, though, I realized, said something to, I ran into Karen. Remember, we used to work with Karen at Premier Radio, and she's at Westwood One now.
Yeah.
And she said something about, this and that and that company. I said, yeah, but you know what? I walked out of that building unescorted on my own, and all my stuff was already gone. I didn't leave it behind in my office, and someone was going to bring it to me later.
Yeah.
You know, so kind of, we're lucky. We walked out of that place.
We got out on
our
own terms.
Decision.
Our terms, our decision, and it was, and that's very unusual.
Yeah. She immediately goes, "Well, that's not how it happened for me because somebody escorted me to my car, and I was told my box of stuff would come to my house in 2 days."
I've never had that situation.
Remember, anytime it comes with, it's. Anytime something seems too good to be true, it probably is, and they're going to promise you all the free cake in the world. Just remember, the cake is a lie. And as long as you know that, you're good.
Unless you're Carson. We promised her free cake, and we get her free cake and M&M's.
Yes,
so,
and M&M's.
You know.
Hey, we need a sign, by the way. We have these dispensers. They're like candy machines. You put pennies in, and you get free M&M's, which is terrible that we're all trying to lose weight, and that's still there.
It's a gift from Marianne.
Yes, Marianne Sophia.
I eat them every day.
Oh, do you?
And I've been losing weight.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, what I was going to say is we need to get a sign because for King and Country, we're in the studio. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, you guys want some candy? And they're like, what? And I'm going to just take a penny. We need a little thing that says, take one of these pennies and get some free candy.
I mean, you know, I feel, do we really have to explain to people?
It's got the jar of pennies there, but nobody knows.
And there's a jar of pennies that work in the candy machines. Really,
I don't think people put the two together.
Well, I mean, I think we know
but
who's
here.
But that's
the tax you pay if you don't think about it. I mean.
It's also a nice conversation starter.
Yeah. Also, I usually tell people before I put them in the green room, if you'd like some candy, it's free. We provide you the pennies to work the machines.
But you have to actually operate the machine.
Yes.
They're like not turning school. It for you.
No, not.
For King Country, were really good.
They were. Posted those videos, by the way, if you are listening to the podcast and wanted to see them, their performances. We have three different videos. They're all up on YouTube right now. Those guys they're fantastic. And they're good dudes. They haven't stopped texting us since they left.
Aww.
Like, they've been just so funny and, like, making fun of Patrick having a non-iPhone because he's ruining our group text because he doesn't send iMessages. And they're like, Patrick, get a new phone, dude. Step it up. Upgrade.
I think one of them says he's going to get you one. That's what I read.
I don't know if he can. Not bad. I don't think he can legally. I know that's the joke, but I don't think he can.
Oh yeah, for Plugola.
Oh yeah, right.
I never got any of that. Back in the day, there were like people who were getting, I don't know. I heard cars and furniture,
dude,
and money.
I had a buddy of mine who got a BMW 3 Series and an entire living room of furniture one time.
Oh my gosh.
He got and I was like, wow. I'm like, dude, man, how
to
are
play
you,
to play a certain songs for a record label.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, I never got in on all that.
Yep.
Like the one time I came closest was we were doing some event, and I was like, oh, dude, those glasses are cool. He goes, I'll take them. And I'm like, I'm not going to take your sunglasses. He goes, I'll just write it off. It's no big deal. Just take them. I'm like, I'm not taking your sunglasses. So it was some like promoter guy going, yeah, take my glasses. Because then I would owe him a favor.
Right, right.
And
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when all that stuff came out. There's like was it Spitzer who did that?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
And all the lawsuits and whatever. And I was like, people are doing that?
I know. I was like, where was I?
I've been doing this forever. And I didn't know that.
Nobody's offered me a car.
There are days where I look back, even like in high school, and I'll talk with friends of mine, and they're like, yeah, when I did this, and, you know, the things they were getting into. And I go, what was I doing? It's been like sitting at home doing homework. And then now in radio, like, where was I where you guys were getting free cars? I don't know. I guess I was just sitting there
I never took, and I'm not just saying that because we're on a thing. It never even occurred to me. The only thing I ever asked record labels for was more time with artists for the show. Like,
It helps us.
That's it. I don't have
Also, nobody ever offered.
I mean,
me
okay,
anything.
No, that's not true. I've asked.
I never even had
for
to ask. Like,
concert
you didn't
tickets,
even get the sunglasses.
To go, you know,
no.
What a bummer.
Oh my gosh, this dude I used to work with. He was an old guy, and he would talk about. He was on some rock station back in the 70s, and he would talk about things being overnighted, or a dude would show up on a bus with a duffel bag, like, "Hey, we want you to play the new record," and they would put like drugs on top of it. And I go, didn't that just happen in movies? He's like, no, where do you think the movies got it from? He's like, that was a legit thing.
Our industry is not the same as it used to be.
No, it's
not nearly as fun.
No, it's not.
I want to go back to Wolfman Jack. Those days.
You know those guys were floating in stuff.
He had so much coke he was putting in his dishwasher. Didn't even know.
What's this thing run on?
Oh, the powder soap.
I remember them talking about Alan Freed getting 45s with $100 bills stuck in them. And it's 1955. $100 is more than $1,000 today. Like, that's just crazy. Like, can you imagine someone giving us $1,000 to play a song?
It's not worth it.
No, you know, we get pennies for the M&M machine.
Yeah.
That's ours.
It's so really, like, it's honestly, it's not worth it. See, that's the bad thing is, like, somebody actually one time asked me what it would take to get their song played. And I said, nothing. I said, there's nothing you can give me, no amount of money. And they're like, what about $100,000? I'm like, no, because whatever you offer me has to be worth the rest of my career for the rest of my life.
Yep.
There's nothing worth that.
By the way, though, people can give you gifts.
They can.
So you know. Yes, they can. As long the big problem is.
So I should have took the sunglasses?
Yeah.
Dang!
There was something a while back. Wasn't it like Little Big Town brought you a thing and you were worried about it? And I told you, you're telling people on the air that they gave it to you, so it's not a secret. The problem in the laws comes from things and not disclosing it.
That was she and I were talking coffee, and she was telling me about this coffee maker, mm-hmm. like a press type thing. And she's like, "Oh, you got to try one. No, I'll bring you one day." And I was like, "Oh, okay, whatever." And she did, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" But there was no like favor attached. There was no quid pro quo.
To pour over, by the way.
there's no favor attached, and again, it's not a secret. The problem. Listen, if somebody wants to pay us $1,000 to play a song on the radio. We can do that legally.
I never used it because it's still sitting in the box because I'm like, what am I going to do with this? I don't want to use this and have it cost me my career.
No, of course. Gosh, man.
Dude, you know.
This is why you should have taken the little online test every year. You know, Bubba and Dee, they didn't do that.
Karen, it's still in the box.
Oh, my gosh. Take it home and use it.
Oh, dear.
It's not payola if you disclose it, period.
I took all those tests, by the way.
No, you didn't.
All of the mandatory corporate
Hey, you want to hear a
stupidity?
Secret? No, they didn't. I didn't ever take those tests.
Yeah.
Ever.
No.
I remember dropping those tests in the bucket.
Me. I take it once for myself, and then I would take it two more times.
There was always a little joke about the things because it was all these little buckets. You had to go, okay,
which bucket does this go in?
And Patrick would go, which bucket does this go in? And we'd be like, I don't know, because we didn't know what the buckets were.
Where are the questions?
The buckets was actually from there was twice a year we had to do the payola plugola training, and then we had to do the indecency training. The buckets were from the indecency training.
Oh, what were some of those questions?
So it was I don't know, but it was things
like sexual harassment.
It was
type
things that were indecent, and things that were and there was something else. Like there were three categories. One was safe; you could run at any time, and one you could do during the
past 10 p.m.
hours. Past 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. where you can be a little risque.
Safe harbor, they call it.
Safe harbor. Yeah. That's right, safe harbor. Because no children are listening at 4 a.m. I'm like, all right. Whatever.
You don't know my kids.
And then we're doing a show where we're playing country songs and talking about Jesus. And I'm like, I don't think we're going to have this problem. But
Patrick come in, Carson go, Bubba, congratulations. You got 100%.
Yeah. And, D, just to change it up, you got a 96%.
Yes. We never, ever, ever took those, ever,
no.
did we?
No. No, you didn't.
No, that's why you're afraid.
The secret is out.
That's why he's saying you're afraid to open up a gift from Big Town.
I am.
No,
and you know what's
okay.
funny is I've loaned, specifically with Little Big Town, I've loaned them books and things like that. Like I remember.
Oh, now that's illegal.
To loan something. I've given them stuff.
You should have gone through the federal library system.
Yeah. See, that's where they get you.
Oh, I've double loaned a
so
book.
So when Joel or Luke sends me my iPhone, I'm going to tell everyone about it on the air, and then I'm going to disclose it.
Well, they told
to
everybody
my boss.
On the air. They told everybody in the interview.
Yeah. And then so it's one, it can't be hidden from the public, and it can't be hidden from the company. So I'm going to tell everyone on the air that they gave it to me, and then I'm going to tell my boss, and then and since I'm the president of the company, I'm just going to write myself a note and say, and then we're good, okay. And it's not a problem. But you have to tell – you don't want to trick the audience. The thing is, if you're talking about Plugola was with products. Like, say I own this company and we make this type of coffee. I can't go on the air every day and go, oh, man, this new, Flubba coffee is so good. It's just fantastic. You guys should try it. And I own a stake in it or they're paying me under the table to do that. It has to be obvious that it's an ad.
You own a steak in something else?
I can
else?
Own a steak in anything. Okay. Yes.
A crime?
I can own a steak.
A crime.
All right.
Is that a gold? Did we make that a gold?
How did
it needs
not,
to be
not
a gold.
I know. You
but
know
you didn't
what?
Have
no, no,
it
no.
recorded.
That was just me off the air. And I said crime.
Oh. By the way, I'm wearing my Bombas socks. I already put them on. They sent them to us. Hey, no, we're talking about, being transparent.
And
they're an advertiser.
They paid him to do that.
They paid me to get their socks, and they're great, man.
We're not talking
about
comfy.
I'm
about to
tell you, somebody, we were talking about this today on the show, and somebody texted in and said, oh, dude, I love those socks. I have them on right now, and then sent me a picture of them and their socks with their feet.
That's pretty great, man. Yeah. They get the little honeycomb arch support.
Mm-hmm.
How nice.
You guys know how I am about people sending me pictures of their feet.
Remember when we were going to order socks for all of us in one order?
So, yeah, but just me and Bubba.
Okay, I got that. All right, so I didn't get any socks?
No.
Okay. I'll give you. I have a pair.
Did you even get some?
Hey, how about
you
this?
No, Bubba. He took all of them.
Okay. So, no, you know, I have a feeling Bubba just took the whole thing.
I didn't take all of them. I got. So what is it? Four. Big D got four, and actually, I took.
You took
the
five.
Flowered ones.
Yeah, you got an extra one.
I got some.
He ran it up. We had $100 in socks. He ran it up to what is it? $97.18.
No, it was $98 in like change.
He's working it.
Working the
There's
game.
There's just literally nothing left for you, Patrick. And you know what? I apologize. That's,
all right. That's
unfortunate.
Fine. Couldn't even give me a pair of socks.
Couldn't get, man, if that's
a
what you need.
A pair of
here,
socks.
Here, we'll get you
this?
A box of
how
socks.
How about this, Big yeah. D? I'll give him one. You can give him, not a pair. We each give him just one
sock.
And then we'll make a pair.
we'll buy you a box
that's
of
okay.
socks.
When I get my iPhone from King and Country,
dude,
I'm going to rub
it in.
That
would be so much better.
No,
you
I'm
totally
not
mess
to
up.
IPhone.
You mess
not
up now. All of our iMessage groups.
Yeah.
I can't even have a name for the group. Like, you know, you have your group names on iMessage.
Yeah, because you messed it up.
Yeah.
So does Carson.
Are we done? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're
okay.
done.
Okay. All right. Carson and I have to go back and do the thing some more.
Au revoir, Pee Wee. Stick around. Like we said, for those of you who are listening to the podcast, you have a special treat. You got Chris Jansen. Following up here, what?
You have a special treat.
You have a special treat.
Oh, I got a Chris Jansen hat last night. Did I need to disclose that?
Oh, disclose it.
Okay.
Oh, you got one from his signature hat?
I did. I got the Bass Pro hat.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I want
yep.
one of those.
All right. He'll tell you all about it here at the end of the jingle. So we'll go ahead and play that now.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
I thought I hit it. Oh, no, goodbye. Wrong button.
Goodbye.
This was the podcast, goodbye. But now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Bye, everyone.
I'm sorry. Chris Jansen in the studio with us. Our bud, Chris. Love Chris.
Love you.
We love you more than
no. I love you more.
Yeah,
both of you most.
I got a Chris Jansen tramp stamp.
How
much I love you.
Do you and your wife do the whole more and most and bestest and biggest and all that?
No.
I do with my kids. I do with my kids too.
Well,
love you,
yeah.
Dad. I'm like, love you more, way more, like gigantically huge, you know, Empire State Building more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets old quick though.
That's, I don't do it with my wife.
Kind of like, okay.
I don't do it with the wife. I just can't go there.
Yeah. Do you want to see my tramp stamp or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is it full color or is it just like.
It's, by the way, I know you're kidding, but if you really do ever, I would actually probably pay you money to do it.
To do
tattoo?
What? To get it? To
get
have
a Chris
someone...
Jansen tramp stamp, I would pay you to do it.
We met a guy who had a Big D tattoo on his stomach.
Legitimately?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a prison tat. It was like, it was awesome.
And it's right on his gut. And I have a picture of me squatting down next to his fat, sweaty belly.
Oh, my God.
And it's Big D, and it's in like that
wonderful
that font, that like
yeah,
fancy like a castle, you know.
Yeah, gangster font.
Okay, or
yes,
yeah, gangster font.
I was thinking castle when you said gangster.
Yeah.
Hey, we have something to show you. We're really surprised about this.
Times New Gangster. Okay, go ahead.
Times New Gangster.
Sorry, sorry. I had to.
Can we ask you to follow Patrick? He has. And
are you going
to
call me FaceTime?
No, he's just going to call you. He's on
what?
The hotline. Yeah, because we don't have an.
What's happening? What are you?
He didn't want to show you something in the other room.
Yeah, follow Patrick.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, like, literally leave. And he's getting on the phone now.
Okay.
Yeah, Patrick, are you there?
Yep.
All right, so Patrick and Chris Jansen are now walking down the hall.
So I don't know if you know this, Chris, but we only hang things in one room in the building. So here. In the Stall of Fame. And I Love Patrick t-shirt on. I'm assuming Big D did that.
I wrote on the thing. It put I Love Patrick.
We got you a great spot right here. Right next, so when gentlemen are facing this way, they can see it.
Right.
And also, since you're wearing a white t-shirt, we can change what your t-shirt said.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if you were sitting on this toilet and you made a song out of all my songs about what was happening.
But not
I'm not really sure what that meant.
I'm not really following.
Yeah,
along
I didn't really. It's okay. Yeah, we have. So it's they send out these things.
Come on in.
It's like
come back in.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, I know you've won many awards in your life and many
like
accolades,
it.
But that is, I mean, right? That's,
dude, you have
I
placement in the Stall of Fame.
I feel like he was genuinely like pleased to see that.
And
no,
can
I
tell you, it's far too late. Like,
yeah, it is.
I mean, because we've known you for years.
I like it.
And
I like
not
it a lot.
Had anything in there with you on it. So
I like it a lot. Thank
now
you.
Now you get to watch us pee.
I like it a lot.
No, wait, no, it's the... Okay. Yeah.
It could be either way. It could. Yeah.
You get to look at me.
Chris Jansen in studio with us, as always. We always love having Chris because he picks up a guitar and just starts noodling.
Yeah.
He noodles and doodles.
Go ahead and noodle.
It's noodle. I don't know, man. This guitar just plays good.
I don't think it's a guitar that plays good. I think it's you.
Ow. I think it's a guitar. I really do. This guitar just sounds great.
Do you think each instrument has its own magic?
Oh yeah.
So, like, certain guitars have magic powers and can make you play them better?
Yeah. I mean, generally, I...
Is it in the wood or
no,
the
being
whole thing?
I'm being dead serious. I just think every guitar has certain things in it. Some of them don't have anything in them. This is not the exact brand that I endorse play. Like, on the road, I play Fenders, and I love... But, you know, I have certain ones that play better than others, so I play those all the time. And, but this one just happens to be the best sounding guitar in this room, so I always pick this guitar out when I come in here. It just plays good.
You do. You go straight to it every single time.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I just
like. What do you think it is? Honestly, is it like little fairies? Is it like no? And I'm half joking.
I know.
Because I've heard people say that. I've heard people say like violins.
But there are
like
legendary instruments because of that. Like Trigger. Like
yeah.
Like you know that guitar has magic powers.
I watched a thing the other day. Speaking of on YouTube, you guys should watch this. About where Jamie bought his old Maple guitar, the blonde one that he plays all the time. He bought it in Montgomery, Alabama, and at a local music store. But I have a guitar like that too. Like it's a whole story piece. I mean, it has a bunch of autographs on it, including you know one of the last and one of the only Merle Haggard autographs there are out there, which is cool. But the greatest part about it is I wrote a bunch of song titles on it, and I wrote them so like I can see them, I can read them when I look at it. Is I paid $25 for it. It's just an old Yamaha gut string. I paid $25 for back in, I don't know, 2009 or something. And I wrote every hit I've ever had on that guitar.
Really? A $25 guitar?
Yeah, I wrote Buy Me a Boat on it, Fix a Drink, Good Vibes, Drunk Girl, Truck Yeah, How I'll Always Be, Love This Life. I wrote them all on a $25 guitar, so it's paid
Do you
back.
Still write with that guitar?
Paid back pretty well, yes.
So you think there's some kind of magic to it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dean Dillon has a signature on it. Merle Haggard has a signature on it, and yeah, and they've all played it, so it's a great guitar. It's just a nice piece, you know. But I have some fancy guitars too that I wouldn't give 10 cents.
Do you let people touch that guitar?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be super protective of it.
Yeah, it sits in my man room where I made the Real Friends record, which is where I hang. You know, it's where I smoke cigars, and it's got all my deer heads and hunting stuff in it, and just. Collectible stuff.
Do your buddies pick up that guitar and go, why do you still have this piece of junk?
Yeah. Oh, multiple. But then they play it and they're like, oh my God. I mean, when we wrote, you know, Dean Dillon wrote on it, you know, so it was pretty special.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Like seriously, a $25 guitar is, it might as well have been free.
Yeah.
They might as well have been paying you to play it.
Yeah, I think I traded for it. To be quite certain, I'm pretty sure I traded a Waylon phase pedal on it, like a wow wow, like a you know, like the Wayland sound, the phaser. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure I traded an old phaser pedal for it.
Wow.
You know, speaking of all the there's a different sound in the older country songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think that it was just the recording, the way they recorded it. Like mm-hmm. now it's digital. Back then it was tape.
Mm-hmm.
Is there more to that, or is it just the way they recorded it, or is it? The stuff is better now, like cleaner digital stuff, and so it has a different sound.
For me personally, I think new recordings sound pretty awesome. I mean, why wouldn't you want to use the best of what you right. have available
yeah.
to you?
Which is
in modern day times,
they were using the yeah. best they had.
They're just literally using the best they could use.
We have guys who are doing new stuff now, and they're purposely
making it sound retro.
They're making it sound older. They'll put like
yeah.
vinyl cracks on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, like Jay Joyce is really that's kind of what he's known for. What's the other guy who did Stapleton and all that and did mm-hmm. Sturgill?
Oh, Dave Cobb.
Yeah, Dave Cobb.
And he does a lot of
some of those guys are known for doing retro-style
records.
They record
on analog. Mm-hmm. Some of these people actually do that on purpose because they think it's got power. But I
like it. For me personally, though, I want the quickest results, and I'm in it for one reason, to get hits. That's it. I always say, you know, and look, I appreciate the artistic value of it, of doing it, you know, in
the old way,
doing anything the old regime way. That's cool. I respect it wholeheartedly. But I'll just say that as for me personally, I mean, you know, rarely does art buy money, but money does buy art. So I like to make hits, and I like to turn them out because I'm a fast paced moving human. Mm-hmm. I like to get it done, man. And you know, like when I cut my last record, we did it primarily right there in the house. And it was just a lot of fun, man. Just
well, I think it's cool too.
Organic,
because, in the middle of the night, you have an idea, you can go directly in and mm-hmm. work on it. You're
and
like
we don't.
The
I don't have tape machines.
Of country music.
I don't have tape machines or nothing. Like I got. I mean, I've just you know we do it the new school way too.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just what's available. You know,
Chris Jansen in the studio. The new song is out. It's called "Done." You should get it. And the video's got Kelly in it.
Yes.
Did she ask you to be in it? She like, hey, or did you like, were you in trouble? And you're like, hey, I'll make it. I'll put you in the video.
Yeah, you're so funny, man. I just wouldn't. You know, as I tell people all the time, someone asked me the other day, like, you know, you sing on Dancing with the Stars. You think you would be interested in like dancing on it sometime? Like, first of all, no. Secondly, I would never put my hands on another woman, so I just couldn't imagine doing that.
Yeah.
No, nor could I ever do that ever. No,
so
no,
she didn't come to you and say, put me in the video?
Never. No, actually, I mean, you know, my wife and I, we work together, of course, but she's so unintrusive on things and so just cool. I mean, she's just.
But it gets weird, man. Like, cool, I think the actors, like, who will kiss another actress.
That's, I don't care who you are.
How do you.
Hey, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a professional actor in a movie, right? Yeah. I mean, how many times have people, like, there have like love affairs and stuff mm-hmm. started on that. I just don't believe in even going
Brad
there.
Brad and Angelina.
I don't mm-hmm. believe in going there. I don't believe in even. I don't even believe in talking about going there.
It's would you dance with Patrick right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like how he didn't even hesitate. Yes.
Yeah. Because I know Patrick's a world class dancer.
He is.
And
you learn a lot.
But I love having my wife my videos. I mean, it just makes sense because it's a real, you know, we're a real story.
Are you wearing a Chris Jansen hat?
Yes.
A Bass Pro. Do you have your own hats?
Bubba has his Bass Pro Shop hat, and Chris was saying he should have bought one of his.
Yeah.
Is that your name is stitched on the side, and you can buy those?
Johnny Morris is on the back. Yes, so Johnny Morris on the back there. That's my logo, and then my signature here. It's my signature Bass Pro hat that we partnered on. So I'm an ambassador for Bass Pro, but it goes further than that. Like Johnny, the founder of our company, by the way, at some point, I hope you guys can do some work together because they're amazing. And
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
I'm telling you right now, the classiest, best-ran company, in my opinion, that America has probably ever seen.
I'll walk in and I'll just be like, I have nothing to. I have nothing I need.
Yeah.
And I walk out and I'm like, what happened?
Rarely do you see it. Rarely
you
do
you see a couple rifles.
Rarely do you see a founder.
Aren't you going to stay at the at the hotel?
Yeah, we're
pyramid?
Going to Memphis for a basketball game.
Good.
We're going to stay at the hotel.
At the Pyramid.
Yeah.
Rarely do you see a founder of a company who checks on his businesses regularly and has regular conferences with the managers. It's unbelievable. And if you call Bass Pro and you get on hold, good vibes is what plays.
Is it
so,
really?
Yeah. So but the long story short about the hat, Johnny and I are really close friends outside of the business agreement. And I just love that guy. We just have a great common kinship, brotherhood. And we decided to do this hat. I was wearing the black Bass Pro hat because it kind of goes with what I wear on stage, which is pretty much black all the time anyway. I was wearing it, and we decided, hey, why don't we do a custom hat? And he was like, done and done. So we did it, and he's like, I'll take it a step further. Let's do it all for the proceeds to benefit conservation, and you pick the conservation efforts. And so I was like, win-win, because for years I've been wanting to clean up the Harpeth River that is affluently through Nashville and Franklin, Tennessee, you know, and where I live. And so there was my inn, and my neighbor, this is how God works, man.
Uh-huh.
My neighbor was like the head of the watershed conservancy for the Harpeth River.
Uh-huh.
So we're friends. And so I said, hey, I'm going to start contributing the money for the sales. He was like, oh my God. So we brought that in as the first charity. Then the second one is Tennessee Riverkeeper. Tennessee Riverkeeper is something that I partnered on with my label president, John Esposito, and Robert Kennedy Jr. And it's a national organization, but they hyper-focus in Tennessee as well on cleaning up the Cumberland, Tennessee River. Those are their two mainstays. And, you know, trickle-down effect from that is the duck, which I have a place on, the buffalo. So that's good. It cleans up the rivers, and it's just initiatives. And then, you know, you put words to actions and actions to words. The third one is Tennessee Hunters for the Hungry through the Wildlife Federation. And that is an amazing thing that I've been donating to for years.
Hundreds of thousands of pounds of meat is donated every year.
For millions of people, and it's free. And they can, you know, it's for people who are underprivileged or just frankly just need it or
and
homeless
people,
or whatever.
People, there's so many, I get into this argument all the time with people going, well, I can't believe you hunt and whatever. And I'm like, well, here's the thing. Yeah. I'm like, what's more organic than going out and actually harvesting your own food?
It's no problem. It's like, here's what I tell people, man, you don't have to like it. It's no big deal. It's not a problem. We're not supposed to, in my opinion, my humble opinion, it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody's going to find something about something they don't like.
Yeah, and we don't have to be enemies because we disagree on
y'all
things.
Y'all, newsflash, it's not a problem to disagree with people on anything. No big deal.
Yes.
So that's the way I look at that. But the third initiative
wrong,
is for Tennessee.
Okay.
And you're also not my boss, but the Tennessee Hunters for the Hungry is an incredible organization, and it's just something I'm really proud for. So every hat that's sold, $9.99 at Bass Pro, goes right to it.
I also like that you know how much they cost. That was
it's a nice price point, though.
Well, so y'all know, I buy my own hats. I don't secretly call and get a bunch of them here at the front end. I got like, what did I get, like 10 or 20 on the front and when they were very first made as spec, right, to like hand out and to wear. And then I end up giving them to people on stage or giving them to kids or whatever. So the other night I needed a hat for the tour. So I sent Robbie, who works with me hand in hand with me and Kelly. He dropped by Bass Pro before we took off that day and bought 30 hats. And we paid for 30 hats
there
just because, I mean, it goes for a great cause. And when it's charitable, man, it's charity.
I remember we had you played some kind of a parking lot shindig thing that we did here once.
What do you mean?
Shamalama Ding Dong.
You don't know the name of the Shamalama Ding Dong?
It's so embarrassing. I didn't want to bring it up.
You didn't want to say it?
No, it was awesome because it rained and we had wires running everywhere.
It was 100 degrees and then it started pouring down rain.
And then we thought like everyone was going to get electrified.
Tracy was here, right? Mm-hmm. Tracy Lawrence.
Colt Ford. Chris Jansen.
Chris playing.
Oh, my God.
Fun.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Such a good day.
Like, you know, what's something you want to play? What's a song that it's on your heart?
Well, can I tell you a cool story first?
Yes.
This morning, not everybody in the world gets personal phone calls from people like this, but Charlie Daniels called me this morning.
Shut up.
I swear to God. And invited me to play the Volunteer Jam again this year.
Oh, nice.
Oh, awesome.
It is awesome.
Glad they're still doing it, man.
That is
I keep thinking
awesome
it's going
to freaking phone call to get. So he gets on the phone, man. I'm going to save the record. I recorded it. I was blown away. And I was totally taken by surprise. But I just thought it was so cool of him to personally call and invite me. Like, that is like.
Instead of having management
or
somebody.
That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. I mean, he called a friend of mine who knows him and was like, do you have a contact for Chris Jansen? Like, that is baller. Wow. Like, holy crap.
And just hearing his voice.
Hey. How you doing, son? I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. How are you doing, sir? I don't know. I mean, dang, man. And, you know, it's like, then I got to thinking. We hung up the phone. Of course, I said yes. And then I got to thinking, like, holy crap, man. Like, I'm at a place in my career where Charlie Daniels is calling me. And secondly, he's inviting me to do his gigantic show at the Bridgestone. And then, it's iconic. You know, it's an iconic thing that everybody knows globally. And third, I'm also a Grand Ole Opry member with this man. Mm-hmm. So, like, we have common kinship. It's unbelievable. But I'll play you this one because I've been playing this, like, over and over my head. I don't even know why. Dedicated, by the way, who listens to your show, to my brother-in-law and loves you guys and lives full-time in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Shane Dogg, this is for you.
Our Shane Dogg!
Actually, I got to say one more thing. Oh. He's one of the only outlaws, real outlaws, that I know in my life. My brother-in-law. Yeah. He's not anymore. Well, kind of, but no. His whole life, he's not anymore. He's a great dad and an awesome guy, but and really got it together. But, man, he's one of the only guys who's really lived the outlaw
lifestyle. So he's an outlaw that is now an in-law.
God, that's so great.
You know, we had Hank's son on right before he went on the Opry.
Yeah, yeah, Sam.
Oh yeah.
He you did Weatherman.
He's a cool cat, man.
Yeah,
he
I remember Sam when he was a kid, man. Well, he's still a kid, but I mean, to me, but I mean, now he's a young man. But I remember when he was a kid. He's always been a really sweet kid, and it's good to watch him grow up.
He did when he did Weatherman. I was really impressed.
Yeah,
because you know you're going, yeah, okay, you're gonna sing when you're gonna be
a Hank Jr. clone.
You know? It's amazing to see. It's great to see a great homage, paid forward like that.
Yeah, but what I was gonna say is that he didn't do it like his dad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I was like, flair that's
to
cool.
It. Yeah, his own flair to it, man.
That's good.
You know, he said, I asked him. I said, is your dad real? You know, kind of hands-on with your career? He's like, oh, no, not at all. Yeah. He doesn't talk about it at all. He goes, unless you're – if you're not talking about hunting or Confederate
memorabilia
or going – he goes, he didn't want to talk to you. Right.
Birds of a feather.
Right.
Like Hank Jr. got me into metal detecting years ago. That's the reason I metal detect today. And you know, guys like us, man, Johnny Cash was the same way. You know, if you read about Johnny Cash, he loved to metal detect. He loved to shoot cannons. He loved Civil War memorabilia. He loved arrowhead hunting, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've had a wild last couple of months, by the way. Like, for instance, the other night I was doing a Tennessee Riverkeeper thing in conjunction with the hat. It was a charity dinner, and John Carter was there, and he's Johnny's son, you know, and so I met him for the first time, and it was just an amazing thing. But you know, guys of us, we're just cut of the same cloth as far as that's concerned. We appreciate the land, we love it, we try to be good stewards of it. And like when I leave here today, true story, I'm picking up my wife and my two younger kids, and I'm taking my youngest boy. We're going arrowhead hunting in the fields today. So I'm turning the phone off, and that's what we're doing all day long. And since
what's the coolest thing you ever found?
Like ever, like on metal detecting or arrowheads?
A meteorite.
Metal detecting? The coolest thing I ever found, was with Hank Jr. over here in Nashville, off the backside of the Battle of Nashville. We found 13 live mortars in the ground.
Wow.
They were live. They had the wicks in them and everything. Yeah, yeah. And he sent them up to Shiloh, I believe Shiloh. There's a guy up there that, you know, curate stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
how do you mail that?
I think
you can.
You deliver them, you know, of course. But, yeah, man, we found all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, you know, you just got to get the right permission. You got to get the right property. And then you just.
So you go out there and, like, you have the metal detector, and then you just have, like, a shovel?
Yeah, or just, like a little axe hoe or whatever. And you know, again, you got to respect the land and who was there before you, man, and just treat it like it's yours. And just it's really cool to find stuff. I mean, on my property at the house, I mean, I was putting a pond in for Jesse, my youngest son, and I found a mini ball rolled out of the ground, which would be a bullet.
Uh-huh.
It was dropped and was unfired. Found a bunch of camp lead, which means they camped there. And I found a bunch of flint and arrowheads, too, in the same area. And then, I found an Indian throwing ball, which was truly as Native American. It's as perfectly round as a golf ball.
And they'll just throw it at people?
It's like a net ball. Like they would, you know, they play games with it or whatever, like cricket or something.
Oh, right.
Or like lacrosse or just anything to that nature. But
Know what you should do. Next time you go with Hank Jr., you should, before you go out metal detecting,
I haven't seen him in years, but yeah.
Well, before you do it, you should set up one and you should go in the night before.
Oh, God.
Bury something bizarre.
Like something make like a really, piece of alien tech.
Yes. Have someone like this weird.
Like a RoboCop hand?
Yes. a RoboCop like hand.
Yeah, like a futuristic old-time hand.
Yes.
Crap tons of tin in the yard.
And then he'll be like, boy, son, look at what we got.
We stumbled upon something.
It's so funny, man. Like when I'm nowadays, I like to just go out and hunt rocks, you know, mostly with my young son. It's just easier for him to do it, and it's a lot funner if you got the property and you can plow a field, you know, and you know it's there. But that's another thing, man. It's real spiritual, so you really respect the land, man. And I talk to God before I do it. I also,
really?
Yeah, man. I know this sounds so crazy, too, but anybody listening out there who does it, they understand. You know, you also, man, you got to talk to, I know this sounds so hokey. But
please tell me you talk to trees.
Yeah, I do.
So it's a whole Gaia thing?
I don't know what that means, but I.
Talking to trees.
Okay. It's just talking to the land and the spirits, man. Because around there, because let me tell you something. Dude,
I have argued for years. I think trees and grass and all that, they're sentient. We just don't communicate on that level, and we don't understand it.
I'm going to tell you this, and I'll leave you on this. This is a true story. Last week, I was out in this field, by myself. Sun was down, real dewy, kind of a mystical-looking night. It's quiet as a mouse. And I just said, look, if there's any – this sounds so crazy, but I said, if there's any past spirits or anything that's watching me out here, because it's a big Native American area, traditionally. I just want you to know I respect this ground, and I come at it with a Christian faith. I respect this ground. I respect what I'm doing. I just want you to know that. I just said that, okay?
Yeah.
I said, if you feel led to lead my feet anyway to any kind of relics out here, do it. If not, cool. And I turned around, and the next step I took, my toe was on a perfect Adena point, and the Adena people were here, 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 and 6,000 years ago. And that was right at the tip of my foot. And I'm talking about the most perfect-looking spear point you've ever seen, ever. Perfect. I mean, just pristine.
What did you do?
I picked it up, looked over at the big hillside, and just said, thanks. Moved on.
Goosebumps.
But, it's, I don't believe in a lot of stuff. I just do believe that you need to pay your respects. It's no different than going to put flowers on a grave. It's no different than going to a memorial.
When I lived in Guam, you couldn't use the bathroom in the jungle without asking for permission.
Yeah.
And that's what they always said. That, oh, look, man, look, you have to ask for permission.
You're just on
to
sacred
the
ground.
Because you don't know. And they said, if you don't and you do use the bathroom there without asking for permission, things swell up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I will never chance it.
Yeah. My thing is that, people were here before us, and you just got to respect the grounds they walked on. So that's that. I'm the same way when I metal detect, and because there's a fine line in between disturbing the peace and doing it peacefully.
I have a buddy that you need to go visit.
Who's that?
Well, after the air, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
He's got a piece of property that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I want to go ghost hunting with you.
Man, I've always, you know what? I'm into that too.
I love it.
He's so into ghost hunting and videos of people finding stuff in
their
house.
Dude, I'm going to send you some stuff. This guy, Ghost of Carmel, Maine. There's this guy, he's got a crazy, crazy old house, Carmel, Maine. He's just a dude, man. Just walks through the house with his camera and just goes, and you can hear people talking like in the room, there's nobody.
I'm not okay with
total
any of that.
Disembodied voices.
He said, "I'm not okay with that."
Listen, I'm all about let's go metal detecting, but I don't want to go ghost hunting. Y'all do that without me.
It's a gateway.
The thing is, man, it's a fine line of what you believe, and then it gets into all kinds of questions. But I don't know. I just believe that it's a fact. There were people here on this earth before us, and you just got to respect the land you walk on. So
you're the most interesting person that we've ever interviewed.
I also love chiropractic. And I also love chiropractic and gemstone therapy.
You're
crazy.
I know. You got us into that weird ASMR stuff.
Yeah, don't act like you haven't sat here and got on it before.
Cracking their arms and neck.
It's awesome.
Did you go see that guy in Houston or whatever?
Listen.
You're popping your
fingers. Thumbs.
No, that's like a weird joint. But yeah, I have not gone to see the Houston chiropractor Gregory Johnson yet. I did, however, go.
I did, however, talk
about him in Rolling Stone magazine, though, and they printed it, and he reached out, was like, thanks so much.
But I
did go visit another famous one on YouTube, Dr. Jason. He came out to a show of mine in L.A. Turns out he's a fan, and his kids knew my music and stuff, so that was cool, and he came out and did the whole deal, and it was a crazy, bizarre evening, but it was awesome.
You're so awesome and
I
weird.
Never know how a Chris Jansen interview is going to go.
It's the
and
best.
It's always so
It's always the best. One thing leads to another. It's so great.
And then he plays Bo Cephas and everybody wins. It's just fantastic.
He's like, whiskey and women and heavy firing. Chris Jansen, thank you, brother. We love you so much.
Thank you. Love you, too.